You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We're going to wrap up before we do our post-first round draft analysis from a fantasy football perspective there on Friday's show to wrap up the week. We'll also look at the rounds beyond that, second, third, fourth through seven there on the flip side of that to detail in fantasy football terms here for you. We got to look at my final mock draft at SportingNews.com. More things to think about on what teams might be thinking, especially looking for offensive skill players or offensive support players that are going to change their fortunes in fantasy football and overall real offensive production here in 2022. So we'll break down the first half of my final first round mock draft up at Sporting News that you can check out there on today's show, then we'll break it down with the second half. So we'll break it up in two parts, leading you in nicely into the first round there on Thursday night. So good stuff there for you. I do have to tell you at the top that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever. Fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off $500 spent. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. All right, thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. And the Jaguars have everyone free and available to them that is eligible for the draft at number one overall when they're picking on the clock. Now, from the betting perspective, the odds have tilted here to Trayvon Walker of Georgia, the defensive tackle, defensive end, 3-4 guy that you can move around in different places on a scheme and be effective. He had an explosive combine. He's the leading pick now. That's who I'm going with here with the Jaguars. I think they're locking into Trayvon Walker. They've kept the Aiden Hutchinson dream alive here to see if someone would go trade up for him, knowing that the Lions would jump on him there at number two, the Wolverines edge rusher there. But really why the Jaguars are leaning Trayvon Walker is this. I think he can just do more. He can play inside, outside. He's scheme versatile, hybrid player. They're more of a 3-4 team. I thought Hutchinson is more of a 4-3 type classic end, where Walker still has some sensibilities where he can drop into coverage and maybe even play outside linebacker times for the Jaguars. I don't think that'll happen all that much, but they can do different things with Walker to disrupt things up front. And those type of players are rare, especially the inside-outside. So I think that's why Trayvon Walker is the guy here for the Jaguars at number two, or number one, and that leaves then Aiden Hutchinson to go immediately to the Lions at number two. They're not going to waste any time should Walker be off the board. To me, Hutchinson's the best overall player. I think you're just going to get what he can do, and the production's going to be there. He's going to be a double-digit sack guy where we've seen in the past. Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, that draft class a few years ago. He's going to be that type of reliable player to really get into the backfield and disrupt plays against run and pass. So really, I like both these players a lot. I think Walker is a better fit for what the Jaguars are trying to do. Well, you look at the Lions, they just have Charles Harris on one side. They're pretty weak. Elsewhere, they have Romeo Okwara. They need to get to the quarterback for their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn. Hutchinson over a quarterback. There's going to be some rumors that they could look at Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett as early as two. A little bit of spoiler down there when we talk about our last pick over these last 2 days in my final first-round mock draft. The Lions will have another opportunity to look at the quarterback there, so not at this early spot in the draft. So back-to-back defense, and again, look for Hutchinson to be a big sack artist right away. While Trayvon Walker might stuff the stat sheet in different ways, I don't think he's going to be on the radar for IDP, where I think Hutchinson is going to get after the quarterback. Keep in mind, the Lions are a team that might trail a little bit, may not see a lot of dropbacks, but still, I think their offense could get into some shootouts, and that's going to help Hutchinson as well here with all their weaponry they have around Jared Goff or a quarterback that they take here in the first round. Now, let's go to the Texans, and it's really down to two players, well, three right now. Sauce Gardner's popped up in the mix. Ahmad Gardner, better known as that, from Cincinnati, and he's a playmaker, but I think the Texans still need to take an offensive lineman there to bookend with Laremy Tunsil. They're happy with Tunsil. They brought it back. He likes being there, but he needs some right tackle help. And Evan Neal can be a left tackle in time if they need to move on from Tunsil as he gets a little bit older, but you get those bookends out there, it can be pretty special. And Evan Neal, there's that Nick Caserio connection with the Patriots. The Patriots are well locked into Alabama. I think if they had to pick between Neal and Ike Ekwonu of NC State, they're going to lean in that direction. I just can't see them go for the corner this early when they've got options throughout the draft. It's a pretty deep position where offensive line, there's three guys that stand up above the rest, stand out as well, and Evan Neal is one of them. So really, Neal, Ike Ekwonu, Charles Cross there, Mississippi State, any of those guys are going to be 10-year type players, put in any position, safe picks here in this draft. So Texans, I think I would go there. Corner always has some volatility, even though Sauce Gardner has looked really good as an all-around player here. I think it's a little bit too early. Let's lay off the sauce. Let's go with Evan Neal here. And that's going to make the Texans pretty formidable up front here to really help what they can do. But we got to see what they're doing with their skill players. I think they'll still look for a wide receiver, maybe a quarterback if the value is right with Davis Mills. But I think they're more interested in upgrading around Davis Mills. So Neal opposite Tunsil before they address a running back and wide receiver in this draft class. The Jets are on the clock at number four for one of two picks here in the first round as it stands. Kayvon Thibodeau is the easy pick here. So if Walker's gone and Hutchinson is gone, it would be easy for the Jets to just simply go with Kayvon Thibodeau. They've liked him since early the process for Robert Saleh, a defensive-minded team. I think they can find offensive line value a little bit later here, and so they don't have to lock into Ike Ekwonu, and they're just looking for some right tackle help. It's not desperate, because you have pretty good offensive line. We look at Mekhi Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker, then they'll move to the right side. Lakin Tomlinson, they sign free agency. So they don't need to go for that offensive line too early. I think corner is also a bit of a stretch for them. They did pick up DJ Reed, the Seahawks starter in free agency. So they'll wait. They'll get some good values. Keep in mind, they have another pick here. So I think they'll lean defense with this first pick and hint. I think they'll go offense with that next pick there in this round at number 10. So interesting to see what the Jets will do. Same thing with the crosstown team, the Giants from the NFC. Big Blue, we know Gangrene could go at Kayvon. So that would keep the Giants going into Ike Ekwonu there. Neal's off the board, makes sense. I think they'll also look at Charles Cross a little bit. It's just their offensive lineman of choice. So it doesn't matter between those guys. They have Andrew Thomas. They can figure out that left side or right side, who plays where. If they need to kick up Ekwonu inside, they could do that. But I think most likely he's going to play the outside, Neal and Cross as well. So that's why the Giants are locked into offensive tackles here in this draft. It'll be good. They need some help, but it's Brian Daboll wants to get the ball downfield. Daniel Jones help him quite a bit, try to use Kadarius Toney a little bit better. He was on the trading block for a brief moment there, which is weird, but Toney's kind of a mercurial guy starting his career like that. Sounds like a little bit like Odell Beckham Jr. Nork, but they need some help up front to protect Jones and better run the ball with Saquon Barkley if they're going to keep committing to him in this backfield as the feature back. All right, we will get into the rest of my first half for the final first-round mock draft at Sporting News. We'll look at picks 6 through 11, and then we'll close looking at 12 through 16. Then we'll come back 17 through 32 there in our part 2 of this mock draft breakdown, the final mock draft down. It's the final countdown. It's also time almost for Mother's Day. And yeah, it's just around the corner. Once the NFL draft is over, it's going to be May here. And look, we know you got to take care of the special people in your life, and that includes your mom. And whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. If you're looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift for every budget. Make Mother's Day and mark it with something enduring. classic diamond stud earrings and all the good stuff that you can get there. So the Brows, they're going to help you pick the perfect gift for your mom. Celebrating the special woman in your life beyond your mom? Well, BlueNile.com, you can easily navigate thousands of fine jewelry options at every price point to find what's right for you. So this Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On sports listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Stop stress-free and find your every piece by shopping at BlueNile.com. Go to BlueNile.com today to browse and get that perfect gift of fine jewelry for Mother's Day. All right, we will continue the breakdown of the first half of my final first-round mock draft here for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now for a big announcement. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts Thursday night. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, an hour before the draft, April 28th. Available on Locked On NFL on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. All right, let's continue the show. We're going to get to our quarterback, and here he is at number 6 in our mock draft. Malik Willis to the Panthers. Yep, so Kenny Pickett, all this talk about him, he's not even going to the draft. There's a sense that his draft stock is falling. There's also a sense that Falcons, Seahawks, Saints, these teams are not going to reach to go get a quarterback. They're going to kind of wait for that value to come. So the Panthers could also think about Charles Cross with Neal and Okonwu off the board, the NC State local product. But looking at Malik Willis, he's got the upside. If we're going to go right now with Sam Darnold as a bridge quarterback, you think Malik Willis is an upside guy that you look at in 2023. They could also open up the competition with Darnold Willis. They're not hot on Darnold anyway if they're looking at Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo trades. Scott Fitterer, the GM, said they're going to add a QB in some form to challenge Darnold. Now, he was trying to be as subtle as possible to say that could come in a trade or in a later round pick. But the Panthers don't have a lot of draft capital. Keep that in mind here. They made some trades, so this is their only shot to get a quarterback here if they want to dive into it and try to get ahead of the game. Malik Willis, I like the upside. A good throwback to 2022 and 2011. They got Cam Newton out of Auburn. That's where Willis started his career before going to Liberty. Again, the arm strength, the upside, all there. Good receivers for now, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall. We'll see if he can come on a little bit. Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. I think they could upgrade tight end a little bit. If they do this, then there's some offensive line concern behind Taylor Moten there. So a lot of things to look at with the Panthers, but Malik Willis, the Panthers, again, you'd have to table him. I don't think you could count on him as a QB one with upside in this situation. Any QB that goes to Panthers, not the best situation here. So we broke down Malik Willis and his fits there. So if you missed that, the team by team. But yeah, that would be more of a redshirt situation for fantasy football purposes, whether he starts or not there in Carolina. All right, we got our sauce finally with our pick at number 7, the Giants on the clock again. So 5 and 7 belong to the Giants. Sauce Gardner, they need some cornerback help. They're thinking about moving James Bradbury. He could be moved in the draft. Speaking of Panthers, the former Panther there, he's a bit expensive, but you get a guy with Bradbury to make some plays, watch out. Size, strength, everything that you look for that makes big plays on the ball, Sauce Gardner has it, and that's why he's emerged over Stingley as the choice here. So very interesting the development here that Gardner has passed Derek Stingley Jr., who's been holding the top spot at corner for a while. He's not going to drop too far, but again, Gardner on the back end could make that Giants defense a lot more active, playmaking, and on the fantasy football radar as a streamer here in 2022. All right, let's go to the Falcons. They're picking at number 8. The selection I have in the mock draft with Willis off the board, they could think of best defensive player available, but the thing for the Falcons is there's a lot of defensive depth at the positions they need, especially at edge rusher. There's not that many special elite receivers in this class. I mean, there's a lot of receiving depth, but three guys stand out among the rest. The Falcons have the shot at all three of them, Garrett Wilson of Ohio State, Chris Olave from the same school, and Jameson Williams, formerly of Ohio State, ended up at Alabama as the number 1. Garrett Wilson, I think, is the most complete of these receivers. I think Williams is the big playmaker. Olave, a little bit of both. But Wilson, I think, is the most well-rounded receiver. Runs the best routes, has the best hand. So that's where the Falcons need to go. They need someone reliable there to play off Kyle Pitts with Calvin Ridley suspended, Russell Gage gone. We've talked about that quite a bit here. But they're going to lead wide receiver. I know it may not be popular with the fan base that it's not quarterback or defense here, but I think the Falcons need it. I mean, beyond just not having Ridley, and you don't know if Ridley's going to be a big part of this team next year with what happened, but they just needed to replace Julio Jones, and not having the contingency of Gage really hurts. Because we saw last year, not having Ridley in the lineup for much of it really put a lot of pressure on Pitts as a rookie. To have him be much better and effective, get him favorable coverage, you've got to get a legitimate other threat, and Wilson represents that here with this pick at number 8 overall. The Seahawks, again, yeah, if Willis is off the board, I think the Seahawks have to think offensive line. They didn't bring back Dwayne Brown. He's ancient. Still played pretty well, but left tackle is a void for the Seahawks here for Drew Lock. At least now he's the quarterback. I think they'll add a quarterback at some point in this draft, maybe consider Bridges as well. But Drew Lock, it doesn't matter who's under center. They got to get left tackle shored up. So you're looking at Charles Cross here for the Seahawks replacing Dwayne Brown and helping that running game as well. Here, Cross is just a good rock of a player. So that's going to help Rashad Penny slash Chris Carson as well as getting the ball downfield, protecting the quarterback to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. All right, we'll go to the Jets. And we went with one wide receiver to the Falcons a couple picks earlier. Let's get another one off the board. This is Jameson Williams. And why Jameson Williams over Olave? I think you look at the complementary situation. I think there's a little bit of Elijah Moore in Olave in terms of Moore being a bit of a steal. I think they figure that he's going to be pretty active here. You have Corey Davis, looks the part of a possession number one outside. Not the biggest burner there, the former Titans, the number 5 overall pick. The Jets, however, Jameson Williams, I think he's a good complement to what these guys do. Braxton Berrios, maybe they don't want to overexpose him. They can use Moore in the slot here, playing off Davis and Williams, the size here. Williams can stretch the field. They need to have that downfield element for Zach Wilson, and they've really worked hard. I mean, they are upgrading the 12 personnel now with C.J. Uzomah and Tyler Conklin. They tried, apparently, to get Tyreek Hill, but they need that type of player in this lineup, a guy that can take the top off of defense with some really good speed. You put in Jameson Williams, we're starting to perk up a little bit looking at Zach Wilson's sleeper value. Now, if he can stay healthy, keep in mind we had Mike White and you had Joe Flacco and Josh Johnson, they extracted some decent production from Moore and some other guys. So Wilson can stay healthy. He's athletic. This offensive line gets a little bit bigger and better here overall in this draft. Get some better help from Mekhi Becton. It's a good position for Zach Wilson to have sneaky QB2 value on the rise and more than just streamer value. So something we're going to watch for sure with Zach Wilson, if he gets a weapon like Williams or Wilson or Olave. Speaking of Olave, he's the next pick that I have on the board to the Commanders. Now, Ron Rivera and Scott Turner have liked these Ohio State receivers for a while. It helps that they have a good one in Terry McLaurin out of Columbus. So they have some history with this program. It's a little bit different, but the offensive connections are still there with what they did. They're going with Ryan Day and bridging to the Urban Meyer era. So Olave would be really good. They need some weapons here for Carson Wentz that are going to take pressure off one Terry McLaurin. And also they have to worry about Logan Thomas coming off a major knee injury at tight end. They don't have a lot there at the position. They can't rely on Curtis Samuel being healthy. So Chris Olave here is a great pick. And I think he'd immediately have some impact. I think he would be the go-to guy for Carson Wentz. So I think all three of these guys can have it the way that Jamar Chase did last year. But when you look at Wilson, it would be a great position to dominate targets, right? If no one is there, it's him and Kyle Pitts. That's going to be good. But Williams has to contend, potentially, whoever goes to Jets, any receiver there, with Davis and Moore. If you go to the Commanders, you got McLaurin to feed. So the Falcons are the greatest situation for the wide receiver produced just by pure target and necessity of volume here. Olave helped by potential of McLaurin on the other side, so he's not always getting a tough coverage. Williams also helped by Moore and Davis being available, but the volume is just not going to be the same there for these other receivers who end up with the Jets and Commanders versus the one, if there's one who plays for the Falcons there this season. So, Olave, though, I think he could be Jamar Chase, and you could plug him in. Again, I think that's how I look at it. The Falcons, Commanders, Jets, whoever ends up in those places in that order between those three top receivers, that's how I'm looking at it in the fantasy football pecking order. hears. But Olave's special skill set to be like Chase. It would be great if him and whoever's quarterback is are on the same page here, whether it be Wentz or Wilson or Marcus Mariota. So that's the thing. You have to factor a lot of things. Who's going to get the targets? Who's in the complementary position to not be smothered by coverage? Who's also going to be helped by their quarterback enough? So all these things you have to weigh. It's going to be pretty close based on these situations. And you can end up the Falcons and Jets and Commanders, one or two of them do not get wide receivers in the draft. But I'm pretty confident at least two will right now based on the latest developments in the mock draft. All right, we will break down the final five teams in the first half of my final first-round mock draft for Sporting News. So we'll get to number 16 when it's all said and done. But we know it's almost May. We talked about it. It's the time of the year that I've pretty much given up on my New Year's resolutions. I can do that in previous years, but not this year. Not with Built Bar as part of my plan. I'm sticking to resolution to eat right because of Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really been a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them and like to help them get me through my day. If you try the Puffs, if you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best-tasting bars. Puffs are the first-ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmally. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors. Yummy cinnamon churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. So many good flavors. Those are going to be among your new favorites at Built Bar. And all the Built Bars you get are covered in 100% real chocolate. That includes the Puffs. 100% real chocolate. Just check out the macros on most Built Bars. 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Mint brownie, coconut almond, some of those classic Built Bar flavors they can check out. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy. I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every time with great deliciousness. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show here, looking at the final five picks in the first half of my first round mock draft for Sporting. This is the last one that we're going to post for 2022. Then we're going to turn the page to 2023. We'll get into that a little bit. Something we can table for fantasy football for sure. But yeah, 2022, we want these picks to happen. This is just to give you something to think about here. We know the picks are not going to go down exactly as planned. I mean, that would be miraculous, but we're looking at what these teams might be thinking and where they're going to upgrade, whether it's on the first round or another round of the draft. Now, let's examine our pick at number 12 here. You have the Vikings, and they're on the clock. They should be locked into the best cornerback available. That means Sauce Gardner. They could look at Trent McDuffie. They could also look at this next guy, Derek Stingley Jr. They need one. It also makes sense to have a mentor in place. Stingley went to LSU. Patrick Peterson's back here with Cameron Dantzler. So work on Stingley. Have a little bit of mentor. Same kind of attitude, making big plays. Stingley has that Peterson once displayed as a top pick in this league. So a little bit of mentor situation. Get Peterson up to speed here with Stingley and really get the best out of him in this new defense here for the Vikings. So really interesting pick. I mean, I don't think they'll go offense too early. They might be tempted by wide receiver or offensive line. Quarterback's not going to happen with the Kirk Cousins extension, but Stingley can make a lot of plays, and that secondary gets a little bit more interesting if they can build better out their pass rush. And they have a pretty decent pass rush now with Za'Darius Smith joining the mix from the Packers, moving from Green Bay to Minnesota, and the health of Danielle Hunter. So on the back end, the Vikings may restore themselves to the playmaking defense as they move on from Mike Zimmer. The Texans also want to make a lot of defensive plays here, more so with Lovie Smith as their head coach promoted there. So Jermaine Johnson of Florida State would be a good pick. He's another guy that started his career at Georgia, so just think about that. Another player that could have come out of that defense, really did at this point. So kind of the Jameson Williams of the edge rushers in this draft. They need some help. Jonathan Bullard is a pretty good player. You'll be familiar with him in IDP. Made a lot of plays, so get another guy in there to complement Bullard. It's going to help quite a bit here. So Jermaine Johnson is the pick here as the Texans go offensive tackle and defensive end slash edge rusher here with their first two picks in our mock. Then we get up to pick 14. The Ravens seem like they're kind of locking in this player as well. Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia. He's too good to pass up. This eats up a lot of space there. They need to get a little beefier up front. Set up their front seven of their defense with what we're used to, control things in the middle of the field. And so you look at Jordan Davis, again, can be a linchpin against the run, but it can also be disruptive in the inside pass rush. Could be heir apparent to Calais Campbell that they look at in Jordan Davis. So the Ravens, certainly, they're in the market for that type of player. Then you're looking at the Eagles next on the clock. So we need to go back to offense and offensive skill player. At number 15, the Eagles could take Drake London. That's been the attached player. Drake London has been boom bust, and especially with Wilson, Williams, and Olave off the board, and the Eagles interested in a big receiver. Keep in mind, they move J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to tight end. So they're looking for some size, big body presence, and not this a small Jalen Reagor there trying to play off Devonta Smith. They need a bigger receiver, more sturdy receiver. And you look at Drake London, he fits that bill. So he can go up and get the ball. It would be in a good situation here. Keep in mind, it would be basically Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. So he's in the top three target rule here. He's among that for Jalen Hurts. Big target, so Hurts doesn't have to be super pinpoint accurate to get the ball to London. I mean, it's still important with those downfield balls, but red zone with that 6'5"-ish frame can go up and get it. So Drake London, I'm not sleeping on wherever he lands, but the Eagles look like the spot here, especially with those three wide receivers off the board before this pick. And finally, at number 16, the Saints on board for two picks as well. In three more picks, they'll have another. But you look at Trevor Penning. He's from Northern Iowa. Need to replace Terron Armstead, left tackle opposite Ryan Ramczyk. That's where you have to go. He's the best value. He's the guy that's on the board at that time. So you look at Trevor Penning for the Saints, and that's going to help with everything in the offense. Alvin Kamara in the running game and holding it back and being able to throw downfield to Michael Thomas, Marcus Callaway, and the other wide receivers. So Trevor Penning is a nice asset. Mean and nasty streak as well. Going to help them with run blocking and being a very effective this season in New Orleans. So really excited to see what the Saints will do with their two picks as well as the Eagles here. But getting some kind of offensive help is going to help. And maybe go defense with the other pick for both of these teams, Philadelphia and New Orleans. So thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. Our next episode will be the second half of this mock draft. So we'll go 17 through 32. So it'll be right there. If you want to listen to it there back to back, you can do that. So check it out here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Again, we'll have the analysis of the first round there for you on Friday. And now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Draft. Speaking of draft, Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with inside analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. More so, more important than ever here with the Locked On NFL Draft Show live on YouTube there. It's free and available, just like this show, wherever you get your platform, your podcasts there for you. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer, and have a great day, and we'll catch you on the next show here, breaking down the second half of this first round final mock draft for Sporting News for Locked On Fantasy Football.